Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on the niyat. An Abi Yazid, Ma'an ibn Yazid, ibn al-Akhnas, wa huwa wa abuhu wa jadduhu sahibiyun, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, qala kana Abi Yazid, akhraja dananir yatasaddaqu biha, fawadaha inda rajulin fil masjid, fajitu faakhaztuha faatituhu biha, faqala wallahi ma iyaka aradtu, فخاصمته إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لك ما نويت ما يزيد ولك ما أخذت يا معن رواه البخاري. حضرت معن بن يزيد بن الأخنس رضي الله عنه, he, his father and grandfather were all Sahaba. Imagine, grandson, father and a grandfather, all Sahaba. So therefore Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi made it specially a point to mention it in his kitab. So he narrates that my father Yazid put aside some dinars to give in charity, and he placed them in the hand of a person in the masjid. So one person was there, so he made niyat that I want to give some charity. So he put it in somebody's hand, that you take this charity. So now his son was there, his son was a poor person, his son's name was Ma'an. So now he's the one that's relating this hadith. So he said that my father put some dinars to give in charity and placed them in the hand of a person in the masjid. I came along, took the dinars and brought them to him. So he went there, he took permission from this person that I am in need of charity. He took the charity from this person and then he brought it to his father. So now his father said, by Allah, I did not intend giving them to you. I had no intention to give you this money. In other words, the father thought to himself that my niyat wasn't you, it was to give some poor person. He didn't intend to give it to his son. So we then went and presented the case before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how genuine Sahaba were. That if they had any slight misunderstanding, anything they were not sure about, immediately they'll take it and they'll put it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is here, he can tell us what the direction is. Now this is what intelligent people do, is that whenever they put in a situation, whenever they face a situation, they'll take it and put it in a mashura of some senior person, that I'm in a little bit of a predicament, I'm in a problem, what is your mashura, what should I do? Then inshallah there will be barakat in what you have to say, in what your mashura is, and the whole situation becomes so easy, and a person stressing and worrying and now trying to figure out himself what he needs to do. So he said, we then went and presented the case before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful answer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, oh Yazid, Yazid was the father. He said, you will receive what you intended, what niyat you made, you wanted to give it in sadaqah, that niyat you will get. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ma'an, who was the son, you keep what you took. In other words, you are needy, you are a poor person, you can take. So your father will get the sawab also, and you can take the charity also. So easily Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought an end. From this ulama explained that when a person makes niyat to give charity, he makes niyat to do some good deed, that even if the recipient now of this charity happens to be a person that is not deserving of this charity, then to this person's charity is discharged. Why? Because his niyat was such that I must give it to a such and such a poor person, such a needy case, and for some reason it didn't reach the recipient, it went to somebody else, Allah Ta'ala will still reward this person because of his niyat. Obviously now when a person is giving zakat, then he must do his homework to see that it is the rightful person, or he does his necessary homework. Afterwards it turns out to be that the person still wasn't the rightful recipient of that money, that zakat. This person's zakat now will still be discharged. Why? He did his necessary homework, he did his little bit of investigations, and then he gave his money, and now because he did that, his zakat would be discharged, even though the recipient was not the rightful recipient. An Abi Ishaq Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu qal, jani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'uduni ama hajjatil wada' min waj'in ishtadda bi, فقلت يا رسول الله إني قد بلغ بي من الوجع ما ترى وأنا ذو مال ولا يرثني إلا ابنة لي أفتصدق بثلثي مالي قال لا قلت فالشطر يا رسول الله فقال لا قلت فالثلث يا رسول الله قال الثلث والثلث كثير أو كبير وقال كبير إنك أن تذر ورثتك أغنياء خير من أن تذرهم عالة يتكفف الناس وإنك لن تنفق نفقة تبتغي بها وجه الله إلا أجرت عليها حتى ما تجعل في امرأتك قال فقلت يا رسول الله أخلف بعد أصحابي قال إنك لن تخلف فتعمل عملا تبتغي به وجه الله إلا استد به درجة ورفعة، ولعلك أن تخلف حتى ينتفع بك أقوام ويضر بك آخرون. اللهم أمضي لأصحابي هجرتهم ولا تردهم على أعقابهم. لكن البائس سعد بن خولة يرثي له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن مات بمكة، متفق عليه. هذا سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه was one of the 10 Sahaba who were given glad tidings of Jannat. He was one of the Ashara Mubashara, those 10 Sahaba that were given glad tidings of Jannat in this world. Rasulullah, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited me in the year of the farewell Hajj. In the year of the Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited me because I was afflicted with a serious illness. So this was the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj, the 10th year after Hijrah. So he said, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam visited me, I was afflicted with a serious illness. I said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can see the severity of my illness, and I am a wealthy person with no heirs except a daughter. And look at the thinking of Sahaba. Sometimes when we do the hadith, we must just try and understand that what was their outlook of life, what was their thinking. So now he is sick, he is not well, he is now in Makkatul Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is visiting him, and now he is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you can see I am severely ill, I am a wealthy person, and I have no heirs except a daughter. So now his mind is not going to this investment and that investment. Sahaba's mind was, when they had money, how can we spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we send this money forward? That was their thinking. So even now at his last moments also, his mind is going in that direction. And again, one thing we learn from here, he's not just doing what his mind is telling him, he's making mashura with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even at that occasion now he's making mashura with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should I give 2/3 of my wealth in charity? So the first question is, now that should I give 2/3, that means 66.6% of my wealth, should I give it in charity? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, no. I asked, should I give 50%, should I give half? Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, no. I asked a third, 33.33%. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, a third is fine, but even a third is a lot. It's fine that you give a third, but even a third is a lot. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us something very important. He's teaching us that when a person is giving, then also what he should consider that he's his family. In other words, giving is very good. It's very, very good. But at the same time, don't spend in such a way that the family may go through some inconvenience because now there is nothing left for them. So this is what principle Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us. We also know that when a person is giving wasiyat, when a person is making wasiyat from his estate, it is limited to 1/3. Beyond 1/3, person can't make any wasiyat from his estate. And the next thing we learn about an estate is when a person is making wasiyat, he can't make wasiyat to an heir. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, distribution of wealth. The heir is already getting from the estate. In other words, from the 2/3 that is left, he's getting a share that is there. So therefore, don't make wasiyat for an heir so that he can get more. That's why we are prohibited from making wasiyat from the for an heir in the estate. Anyway, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, a third is fine, but even a third is a lot. It is better for you to leave your heirs wealthy than to leave them poor and begging from people. It's better that you leave your heirs wealthy than leaving them poor so that they may beg from people. In other words, that when you got heirs, now if you're going to give 33.3%, you're going to give the full 1/3, they're going to have less, they're going to have 66.6% to share amongst themselves. So even if you reduce, therefore Rasulullah said, was thulusu kathir, even if you reduce it, in other words, don't take up the full 1/3, don't take up the full 33.3% in making wasiyat. Even if you take a little bit less, for example 25%, you take 20% and you give. So in other words, you're allowed to give up to 1/3, but even if you give a little bit less, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that if you leave your family in such a way that they've got enough, then they don't have to beg. It's better for them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it's better for you to leave your heirs wealthy than to leave them poor and begging from people. You will most certainly be rewarded for whatever you spend for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, even for the morsel of food which you place in your wife's mouth. Everything that you're spending for the sake of Allah, Allah Pak is not forgetting it, he's rewarding it. to such an extent that if you take a morsel of food and you put it in the mouth of your wife, even that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding you for. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I asked for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will I be left behind after my companions leave Makkah Mukarramah? There is a reason why he's asking this question. This was the thinking of Sahaba. Now he's there in Makkah Mukarramah. He said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will I be left behind here? He replied, you will not be left behind, for whatever deeds you do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will increase you in status and rank, and perhaps you will be left behind so that some people will benefit from you whilst others will be harmed by you. Oh Allah, and he said, oh Allah, Nabi alayhi salam, may dua, oh Allah ta'ala, complete for my sahaba the immigration and do not let them turn back on their heels. However, unfortunate, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying this, unfortunate Sa'd ibn Khawla, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lamented, radiallahu anhum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lamented over him because he passed away in Makkah. Just to explain what was worrying Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, by asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will I be left behind in Makkah Sharif? Now Sahaba, they had made hijrat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had left Makkah Mukarrama and they moved to Madinah Munawwara for the sake of Allah. Sahaba's thinking was such, their mind was such, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach them. So they were under the direct guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We gave up Makkah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't be such that we even pass away in Makkah. Why? We gave it up completely. It mustn't even happen that something that we didn't want, that was out of our volition, out of our choice, it happened that we pass away in this land which we gave up for the sake of Allah. Completely, when we gave it up, we shouldn't even pass away. That was their thinking. We shouldn't even pass away in this land. It was given for Allah 100%. We don't want to take even 1% back, even passing away here and being buried here. We gave it up for the sake of Allah. Imagine such a Mubarak land, Makkah al-Mukarramah. It worried them that we made niyat, and when we left it 100% for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the last part, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how unfortunate was Sa'd ibn Khawla. He also had this desire, in the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif it comes, that he also made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. He fought in the battle of Badr, and he happened to come to Makkah Sharif, and he passed away in Makkah Sharif. And when he passed away there, then he was buried there. So in other words, he also had the desire that I should leave Makkah Sharif completely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama take up one point from here, that if Sahaba could leave such a Mubarak land, Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they had that in their heart that we gave it up for the sake of Allah, we shouldn't even pass away in that land, we shouldn't happen to be buried in that land also. Why? Because it was given up for the path of, it was given up for the sake of Allah. Why, when we give up gunas for the sake of Allah, why don't we feel that way, that I can't even return to it? I gave this thing up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I shouldn't even take 1% back from that guna. I shouldn't even visit that guna one more time. It was given up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they could give up a Mubarak land for the sake of Allah and not even desire to pass away there, something was out of the volition. How can we intentionally go back to guna? How can we intentionally go back to something that we made near that we're going to give it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.